What is going on, everybody? Dave Destruction here for week number 4. I'm still kind of crazed that it's already 4 weeks in. It's been a hell of a 3 weeks. I looked at some numbers. I'm a numbers guy. I was always told by the producer of all these shows not to look at the numbers. They're lied to you. It's not what it really means and blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know what? No, I'm a numbers guy. I need to know who's listening, when they're listening, why they're listening. And according to the numbers, we're cruising here. I mean, like, this is a, not only is this a cool thing now, but it's actually catching on with some people. I'm at nearly 2,000 downloads, and that's 3 episodes. So, I mean, I know the other episodes on this stage, even on this network, are doing better. Yeah, big shout to DeMarco and his show. And, you know, the stuff I listen to on a weekly basis, like the 2.5 Wrestlers and the Shining Wizards, and they've been at this for a while. So I'm proud of them, and, you know, keep doing what you're doing. So we're here live at the studio, a.k.a. my dining room, a.k.a. I forgot to turn the lights on, so as it gets darker, I can't see my notes. It's going to be a great show. So I'm well prepared. Today's actually a really cool show. I know we're heading into Memorial Day weekend, and everybody's getting their stuff together and seeing where they're going and who they're going with and who's going to be the designated driver, who's going to be that bitch to drive during Memorial Day weekend, because the cops are out and they're ready to lock up a whole bunch of people. And, you know, this is one of their weekends. So if you are a practicing amateur at drinking on just these kind of holidays, please be sure to bring a lot of packs of gum and whatever it takes to get that taste out of your mouth, or that stench off your breath, or just don't drink and drive. I mean, you could do that too. I mean, we've all had our run-ins with the law. I mean, I'm not one to boast about it, but I've made my mistakes. Everybody makes their mistakes, you know. Like, we all have things we regret as far as, you know, holidays where it comes up to stuff like this, and you just drink until your ass falls off your seat. And in my case, just about 10 minutes ago, I made a decision to not do what I planned on doing for this weekend. So now I guess I'm kind of shit out of luck as far as plans are concerned. I know the Rangers play tonight, which is why, and I didn't really want to say this live, but yeah, I moved up the show so I can watch game 3. I mean, come on, for Christ's sake. But yeah, so that's that. We have a jam-packed show tonight, only for the sole purpose of we're coming off another Pro Wrestling Syndicate success. Maybe not as far as on the crowd standpoint, because I sat there and I wondered if more people were going to show up. And I was told that there was competition in the area, legit competition. I'm not talking about your other companies that want to run in bingo halls or anything like that. I heard that there's something going on at Hammerstein, and it was going to be big. So your crazy smart mark wrestling fans decided to venture up there, and we again pulled our normal crowd, which is awesome because we love you guys, and it's something that I strive for every time, is to please everybody that's there, shake a million hands, whoever's there I interact with. Unless you're like, I don't know, Gordito or something like that, and we haven't seen in a while, so I don't even know if he's coming back. But if you're like you're Clark, I can hold a conversation with Clark. Because I think it's all work anyway, and I think, you know, the jig is up, Clark, okay? I think your crazy obsession with Alex Reynolds and his brother are up, but we always appreciate your support. But, yeah, we came off an incredible weekend in which I participated my ass off as much as I could. Again, being hurt isn't the way I want to be doing this wrestling ordeal. I don't like it, but I like being a member of Pro Wrestling Syndicate simply because...
Because here at Globo Gym, we're better than you! And we know it!
And that's the truth, all right? Take it from White Goodman, W-H-I-T-E, all right? I know that I'm a part of the greatest independent wrestling promotion going right now, so whatever I could possibly do to help them out, I'm going to do that. So I did that. I was offered a spot to join the broadcast team, in which I thought it was just going to be me and David Adams, which is the voice of Pro Wrestling Syndicate. You know, never going to take anything away from him. He kills it. I just wish that he wouldn't scream and lose his voice. And he has lemon drops at all times, making sure that he can keep going and going and going. But I thought it was just going to be us two. I'll get into that in a couple minutes. But first, what I was angry about last week was the fact that I was trying to encourage people to go to this Jeff Jarrett seminar. And to say it was a success is an understatement, okay? Jeff Jarrett showed up on time. There was about 30 guys. I would say about 70. I'm the one who kind of looked around and said, all right, this is about three quarters PWS, which is cool. I mean, that's what it was expected. A couple guys that I've seen at outside shows were there. One guy showed up in full gimmick in his full trunks, and I guess that's cool too. I mean, whatever. So about 30 guys. I had to, and as I posted a picture, Kevin Matthews snapped a photo of the entire thing, and I'm glad that I was seen in that photo, because if I was sitting down, maybe I wouldn't. But I was standing up. I was paying attention. I paid the fee to go to the Jeff Jarrett seminar, not even to step foot in a wrestling ring. And that's, for me, I'm proud of that, because when everybody was walking around the ring introducing themselves to Jarrett, you know, they're introducing themselves as the name, they're, you know, their real names or whatnot. So I finally got to me. I shook his hand. He looked at my crutches. He looked at, you know, the ace bandage on the knee. I said, hi, Jeff. You know, I'm Dave, and thanks for letting me be a part of this. And he said, you're here even with the bad wheel. I was like, yeah. He goes, what happened? And I said, well, I tore my meniscus and my ACL. He goes, how long ago? And I said, about a month and a half, almost 2 months now. He's like, oh, you got a long road ahead. Glad you're here. So glad you're here. Just that alone made me feel like, okay, I made the right decision here. Whether he forgets me, remembers me, or whatever, I feel like that was the right decision to make, because I was preaching to whoever was listening to do this. And it was a legit seminar in talent evaluation. He had you go through the specific drills, your basic drills, stuff that I know, and I even told a couple of the guys this, I know certain things, and I know I'm good at certain things, and I'm not good at certain things. So the drills that we went through, I really feel like I could have, you know, done my best and really kind of stood out. I have intensity, which he was looking for. I have that, you know, the strength to keep barreling through and just doing the basics correct. I mean, it was one thing. It was the first thing we did was a specific lockup drill, and it kind of threw a lot of people, including myself, for a loop. And then I asked my trainer if he agreed with it, and he just said he didn't have a problem with it. So it's just always something. It's always fresh to new, you know, to learn something new. Still new into the business. June 11th will be 2 years of being a professional wrestler. So that's pretty cool. I'm on my way. Obviously, I'm not in the situation that I want to be in right now. But you know, everybody recovers, and I plan on doing the same thing. So again, this is a reminder to all the listeners and anybody who's actually hearing my voice right now. I will spear again. I will kick ass again. There's no ifs, ands, or buts in my mind. I'm watching way too much wrestling, and I'm over at the school way too much, even as an injured participant where I get to watch. Watching those guys kill it is killing me. I want to be out there. I still can try and give some of the new guys critique and help out some of the new guys. We got this new kid, Kevin, who he kind of kind of reminds everybody of Mr. Chow. He's a little small Chinese kid. Philippine. And he, you know, we made jokes saying, okay, it's time for you to be Mr. Fuji, you know, like, but he was having a good time with it, and he's coming along good. And for the first time ever, I can actually say the girls are putting in some hustle. You know, it's been a up and down battle to see which girls last and which girls don't. And, you know, way back in the day, we had one girl who, if Craven's listening, like, was our little meat gazer. It was just she would just be want to be around the boys, and that's it. Like, there was no aspirations to become a professional wrestler. And then we had another girl come in who's a big fan of PWS, but I just don't think that she separated her fandom away from the wrestling ring. So it was kind of hard to teach her when all she cared about was when the next time John Cena was wrestling, you know? So as it progressed, we started, you know, the Bombshells are promoted as such, and they're doing great. Everybody that comes in, they kill it. Missy Sampson comes in, she kicks everybody's ass, and that's it. La Rosa Negra comes in, and she's dancing all over people, and that's awesome. And the specific crowd we draw for those shows is goddamn creepy, but it's still an audience that, you know, is consistent, and they never shy away. So I know those people will be there for Supercard in that match that they have. But yeah, the girls in the school right now that I've seen, I've only seen a couple of them, you know, that are brand new, you know, and that's, their names are Allison and Sarah. Sarah's been there a little longer. Allison's just coming around. She's just a tiny little petite thing that's getting her ass kicked, but she's sticking with it. And every time I cringe when I saw her yesterday take a punch or a kick or a takeover or something really easy, I was just like, oh, God. And, of course, Craig Steele had to almost impregnate the girl, for Christ's sakes. But it was fun to watch, and she's coming along, and she's doing a great job. And same thing with Sarah, who I think is actually kind of got a chip on her shoulder. I don't know. And now that she sees herself being one of the I don't know, how do you explain, more experienced girls that are on the roster now, she's been around. You got to see the transformation from this girl from the time she started to the time she's at now. She came into that school and I didn't know what to expect. She's just had this haircut that looked like she just got out of the Lego factory, where it was just like this block of hair, and she was pale as a ghost. And again, she didn't know anything. But now, fast forward till now, girl's tan, she's got a nose ring, her hair's all done, she's busting ass to practice, and I think she's hanging around with the lifeguard too much because she's coming off just as cocky as him. So, but kudos to those girls, they're really pulling together. But anyway, back to the Jarrett seminar. It was great. There was a segment where I could participate, and I thought to myself, they're going to do this interview segment, okay? They're going to do this Q&A of who you are, why you're here, what can you offer Global Force Wrestling, and give me a pitch. Not so much a promo, but just a pitch. So, and unfortunately, they decided they wanted to do all this as far away from the ring as possible, which is fine. I don't care where you do it, except for if you do it on top of the ramp. Well, they did it on top of the ramp. So there I was. I crutched up the ramp. I asked Payne, who was standing behind me, for backup, and he said, no, like, this is individual time. I'm not helping you. If you fall, that's you. But then again, I thought to myself, if I fell down the ramp and I tumbled, he'd remember that. So, but I crutched my ass up the ramp. I did my Q&A. The Q&A was real basic. And the gentleman who interviewed us even said to me, you know, he's like, oh, you're here with the crutches. Why is that? And I simply put it, and I'll say it right here, that I want to be the definition of hard work paying off. Never settling for an injury to keep you down or take you out of the ball game or totally discourage any of your dreams or aspirations that you have. And he liked that. He said it at the end. He's like, I really dig that, you know? So, and that was it, man. It was long. It was like 2.5 hours long. It was the best bang for your buck seminar I've done. I've done other seminars with, you know, Goldust, and that was cool because he interacted with us, and I did one with Matt Hardy the night before my first match, so clearly I was really inexperienced, and I shit the bed there, but this was actually a seminar based on somebody who's starting a company, so it's a bigger deal. So, long story short, that was that. The show started, and it was fun. It was another fun show with a lot of cool matches that went down. The fallout is awesome. I sat down, and that's when I was told that Sam Roberts of the Sam Roberts Show and Opie and Anthony, producer of being on Sirius FM, Sirius XM, and I said to myself, "Oh wow, really? Like Sam Roberts? Like I've met him briefly. He's called some of my matches. You know, he came in there and he sat down, and all of a sudden there was three of us, like the three amigos, me." Sam Roberts, I was right in the middle of Sam Roberts and David Adams. So it was surreal for me. It was pretty cool. I got to call the action. I probably overreacted on every single match. But I really wanted to add that. Instead of having David Adams scream his ass off or, you know, Sam Roberts give his little short sarcastic quips, like I decided, why not add my own flavor to everything? So I really did. The matches were just great. You know, everything went well. Dan Moff and Starman killed it again. And unfortunately, you know, Starman got the better of him. And then I got to call four burning hammers in a row by Dan Moff. And he kicked the living hell out of Starman, setting up their big blow-off match called Moff's Madness at PWS Supercard, which is, if I said it was stacked, it would be an understatement. It's insane. You know, like, it's just, there's so much going on. But back to, you know, the May show. It was just, this past week has been something special, and there was so much, I guess some of the things that stood out were Habib from the car wash, which I really didn't see coming. I didn't know what to expect, and then I saw him backstage, and I said, "You've got to be kidding me! How ever is this going to get over with the crowd? Like, how are they going to get behind this?" But I tell you what, if anybody got more cheers, it was Habib. So he was over with everybody, and that was that. Yeah, excuse me, I'm putting the straw into the old big old Diet Coke. Hey, we've got light because it was starting to get dark. Anyway, but back to Habib. He killed it. He did great. He's back for Supercard in the triple threat match against Buff Bagwell and Craig Steele. So my assumptions is that Habib will wind up in your laps if you're in rows 4 through the front. So who knows? Other than that, the Kevin Matthews and Jeff Jarrett match, it meant a lot to me personally as looking from the outsider in. Clearly, I would want to be a part of something so huge. What do I want to do? I want to be in the ring. But if I'm not in the ring, I'm right there. That's a lot of water. I just got a delivery of 2 gallons of water to last me probably until later on tonight. Kevin Matthews and Jeff Jarrett, they crushed it, and I knew they would. And it wasn't even like your typical back and forth match. Like, you had Jeff Jarrett doing his cocky little strut that he did, and then Kevin took it personal. He countered his move, and he did the strut. And then when Kevin Matthews made that gesture, and I can't do the gesture on the air because you won't understand it, but let's just say it's the gesture of rolling dice and exploding onto Karen Jarrett's face. Okay, that right there was one of those moments where I was just like, Kevin is on top of his game right now, and he is, no pun intended, untouchable. Like, it was great to see that. And when he got the 1-2-3, I said, in besides ranting and raving about how awesome that just was and how great it was to see the face of PWS against the face of GFW, you know, it was, I said, not in our house, you know, like, as cliche and might be stupid as that is, I said, not in our house. Kevin with the win, you know, on his home turf, and I called Jarrett the visitor, you know, like, as if it was like a sporting game or a sporting event, but it was great. It was so cool to watch it. And other things that happened involving Kevin is that, and it touched my heart because I remember where I was and what happened to me and how I felt, but Kevin did ask a question months ago, what would the fans want to see Reality Check do? Would they like to see them split and have Devin Moore and Kevin go their separate ways? Or would they like them to recruit and rebuild? And the last time they did that, they recruited me and Damian Gibbs. And at the same time, right before that, they recruited Alex Reynolds. And then Kyle Reynolds. And then Checkman. And we were building an army. And then obviously it just kind of imploded when Alex took it upon himself to turn on us, and then Kevin said, you know what, I'm sorry, but do your thing. I'm leading you to the water. Don't drown. But now it's time to rebuild, and he did that. He saw a guy with potential. Potential's not even the word I'm looking for because this guy's got the utmost just future ahead of him if he stays with it, and he's just, I don't know. I don't know what else he's got to do, but Craven Varro is one of the future, you know, impact players of Pro Wrestling Syndicate, and he was given the opportunity to join Reality Check, and he did. I mean, that was quick. It's a very easy decision. For me, it wasn't so quick because at the time, I was trying to play good guy, and at the time, nobody really liked Kevin, and then that weird transition started to happen where everybody started to like Kevin and grasp onto Reality Check and living the gimmick and buying the merch and all this good stuff. So now this time it was an easy decision for Craven because why not? Let's get on the Reality Check bandwagon. He led me and Damian to our first title shot. You know, it wasn't like he didn't deliver. We just didn't fulfill our end of the bargain. And then, you know, the rest is history and Damian turns on me and what else is friggin' new? So, but yeah, so Craven Varro, new member of Reality Check, they will be taking on the guys that have been like a thorn in their spine, in his spine personally. And that's the Tremento family with Jerry Tremento, GMC, and the Heavenly Bodies, and the monster known as Fala. And those guys are I can tell you right now, the Heavenly Bodies are coming off another loss, and they're pissed. You know, they're very angry, angry people. So going forward, I would say this isn't a cakewalk for Reality Check, so we'll have to see how that plays out. There's other things, you know, quick little things like the Little Mac and King Hippo match happened, okay? I don't know how many people were into it or not, but it did happen, and they were kicking each other's ass. And then comes the emergence of Tommy Wonsaw. And when I said this back in episode one when I was talking to Craven, Tommy Wonsaw is your future of Pro Wrestling Syndicate. He's brand new, but he's gifted. He's, you know, not just on the microphone, but in the ring. He's a massive human being. He's 6'4". He's like maybe 6'3". He's a big dude. He's about, I want to say he's over 250 pounds because I'm 240, I think. I don't know, last time I weighed myself, it was before surgery. So Lord knows how much pizza I've eaten since then. But he's a big boy, and he made his debut, and he went in there like a bat out of hell, kicked the shit out of King Hippo and Little Mac. And he revealed himself as the new insurance policy for the little enterprise group started by Jay Enterprise and now obviously his number one client, Damian Gibbs. So that was the emergence of Tommy. I expect to see a lot more of him going forward. The Untouchables match against Payne and his two partners of choice, which was Craig Steele and Delroy Alexander, didn't go as a plan. I mean, if everybody's watching it, you saw Payne get kicked in the, I guess if Damien's listening, in the dink. He got kicked behind the ref's back, and that's how you end that match. And unfortunately, I know it's not over. Payne knows it's not over. So coming up on Supercard, it's Chris Payne, it's Bobby Wayward, it's one-on-one. And to add a little spice to that match, you got Al Snow as a special guest referee. So, and you talk about a guy that can enforce the law, and I'm pretty sure Head will be present. So that should be crazy good. And that's really it going forward. I mean, Shinron was in action again against the Lifeguard. Lifeguard scored a nice little cheap win over Shinron. Shinron is like, I don't know, I'm on the fence with him. Like, everybody's like, they get excited about all the flips. I just think he's going to kill somebody one day. Like, he just keeps flipping and just flipping and flipping and flipping. So, yeah, I think his finisher was like a 960 flip, or I don't even know. It was a lot of rotations. But that was this past Saturday. Supercar coming up. It's going to come up fast. You really, really need to get your tickets fast because we are going to pack the Rahway Rec Center. We're back home for the first time since October of 2012. You got to get there. It's going to be nuts. I plan on wearing a suit while I'm doing commentary. Why? Why do I do that? Because this is the PWS WrestleMania, and every time you see WrestleMania, everybody's in a suit. So I will play the part, and it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. The matches are keep piling on. There's so much more to be announced. Bret Hart, Booker T. Like, that's when I know that we've made it. Like, we've made a name for ourselves. When a guy that's on TV every Monday or Thursday or pre-show or whatever he's doing, Booker T is going to take the time out of his day and his schedule to come on board with Pro Wrestling Syndicate and preach. You know what I mean? So that's pretty cool. Bret Hart's back. I can't say enough good things about Bret Hart. I won't go into all that other stuff about Bret Hart because that's my own fault. And that's really it. But again, this is a feel-good episode. What I want to do tonight is bring on a guy that started with me back in June of 2012. His name is Matt Vides. And that's Vides, not Vides, for anybody who's confused, because I even asked him last night. How did I ask him last night? It wasn't on the phone. It was back in a Pro Wrestling Syndicate ring. I saw him there last night, and it couldn't have made me happier. I ran into Matt on Saturday. Saturday at the show, he was there. And he came up to me, made it apparent made it his thing to come on over to me and say hello and not try to play it off like he's never seen me before and we weren't friends at one point. The thing with Matt Vides is he is naturally gifted. Once he started, and he'll tell it better because I'll ask him a bunch of questions once he comes on, but I'm pretty sure he had just a little bit training before Pro Wrestling Syndicate. I don't know where, and I don't know what in what realm. It could be something else. It could be karate. Could be something. I don't know. But we considered him like the Lance Storm of the group. I mean, he's a guy, he doesn't talk a lot, but he makes his waves in the ring. He's smooth, he's safe, he doesn't hurt nobody. but he's vicious at the same time. And the last time we saw Matt Vidas in a PWS ring was, if I'm not mistaken, it was in January of 2013. So it's been over a year, I think. I'm pretty sure. He's going to correct me if I'm wrong. But he had a pretty good opportunity there because one of the greatest independent wrestlers right now, Tony Nese, was doing an invitational at the very first student show. He was doing this invitational where he would just kind of invite guys to come out and try to beat him. So here comes guys trying to beat him. I'm pretty sure GMC was one of them. But the one that gave him basically the best run for his money, best bang for his buck, was Matt Vidas. And we actually laughed about this last night because Matt came out to the song Radioactive, which at the time nobody ever heard of. So when he came out to the song, I said, that song's okay. But as soon as Matt stopped wrestling, it became a number one blockbuster hit. So I don't know how that all worked out. And he even made a joke about it last night. He's like, look, everybody loves that stupid song now. And I was the one who came out with it. And I noticed that because I look, you know, I'm a ridiculous PWS mark for everybody. And I go back and I watch these DVDs and I heard the song. I'm like, oh, I can't believe he had that song. I didn't know that. So, but anyway, Matt kind of, I guess, to us, his fellow students, kind of disappeared. Nobody really knew what happened. There was no injury. I know there was an injury involved when we first started wrestling, when he was in the Battle Royal and he was in a 5-on-5 with me, and then he was a lumberjack. So he was involved in every single student match possible going into that Tony Nese match. So fast forward, what happens to Matt Vidas? I have no idea. Nobody knows. Maybe Pat knew, maybe Eric knew, but nobody really caught on to what exactly happened with him. So I run into him on Saturday, this past Saturday at the show, says hello, but doesn't say anything else. You know, hi, how you doing? How you been? How's the knee? Because obviously everybody sees me with the friggin' knee thing going on. And he's still friends with me on Facebook and interacts with me on social media. So he knew about what was going on. But that was it. That was the only interaction. And we went our separate ways. I did my commentary and then I guess he sat in a crowd and enjoyed the show. Fast forward to Monday. I'm at the gym. I get a phone call where it says, Matt Vidas, PWS. That's how I have him saved in my phone. I said, well, all right, let me answer. So I answer. I typically don't answer the phone when working out, but I thought maybe it's just kind of weird that I just saw him at the show, and he calls the next day or 2 days later. So he calls 2 days later and he tells me about how he wants to come on to the show. And at first, I don't care who comes on the show. It's great. If you want to come on to the show, cool. Whatchamacallit. So I guess that's, I didn't really know his reasoning behind calling. So I answered and he goes on to tell me basically why, what happened. You know, where did he go? Where did he disappear to? Well, it turns out that he came to me and he said that he wanted to bring everybody up to speed, and not just on a wrestling front, but in kind of like a lifestyle, life change front, on the seriousness of OCD. I believe obsessive compulsive disorder. Okay. Now, you hear this every day. People who can't pay attention to something for 5 minutes say, oh, I have ADD, or I have ADHD, or I have this, or I have that. Self-diagnosing everything. And guess what, everybody? We're not doctors. We can't diagnose each other with stuff going on. So, going forward, he went on to tell me that it's time that he kind of get the floor and talk about it. So I said, fine, you know, I'm out to help people. You know, I like helping people and help promote things and, you know, get the truth out there about situations, or let him clear his own name, because he's not going to want to be known as a quitter. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't want to be known as somebody who just never couldn't hack it or something like that, because he was one of the best workers going. You know, he was one of the most fluent wrestlers we had. So going forward, that's what brings us to tonight. So we're just going to wait on his call. I told him to call in around 6:30 and we'll give him the floor. just like anybody else. When Robert Banner wanted to talk, he came onto the show. He gave the floor. So, sure enough, on cue, there he is. Thursday night, Destruction, a special episode, Memorial Day weekend. Matt Vides, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I just wanted to talk to you about those pictures you put up on Facebook. You were giving me the spear. Your
first ever spear.
It's funny, too, because those two pictures, like, that was me in the match. That's all I did.
I know. I remember
those
that.
Those two pictures.
I remember. And, go ahead.
It was funny, too, because I was hurt. I tore a tendon in my leg. And the second picture, when you were covering me, I remember you couldn't even pick up my leg because I had dead leg. I couldn't move it.
And then I got busted for not hooking the leg.
Oh, did you? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. What are you not hooking the leg for? I'm like, I don't know.
Because I couldn't move it. I was in so much pain. But it was a fun night, man. It was a fun match. Although
It was cool. I mean, unfortunately, they didn't know what to do with you. They were like, is he a babyface? Is he a bad guy? Or is he like, what's his deal? So they matched you with the biggest douche of them all, Prince of Aesthetics, Damian Gibbs. They put you on that Team Aesthetics, and then you cut your shirt up. You couldn't have cut it better. I think it was your profile picture for the longest time, but it looked like you came right out of friggin' Margaritaville or something like that, where it looked all Spanish, and it was pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it came out of, like, 1985, too. It was that picture you put up on the when you promoted the show tonight.
Exactly, I used that.
That's the shirt, yeah.
Yeah, I said, oh, what a shirt. Who cut that?
I think Payne, Chris Payne.
Of course he knows what he's doing. That's also the night that Chris Payne debuted as with his boot tassel. So everybody was just tasseled up that night.
Oh, yeah.
He's definitely – that was also the night that I got screwed over that match, and I got hit with Damian Gibbs' 10-pound moon boot over the top of my head, and that was it.
I remember.
Pain and, that was bad. That hurt. Hurt like hell.
I remember that boot, man. He would train with that boot.
And nobody wouldn't want to take a kick from him.
Yeah, when you got kicked in the head, you always had to check your head, see if you got cut, because you felt it.
For the listeners that don't know what I'm talking about, go back to any match prior to September of 2013, because that's when he debuted his new boots. But prior to that, Damian Gibbs was wearing boots that kind of resembled Shawn Michaels' boots from the mid-90s, where it was like a motocross boot. But it was so unproportioned to Damian's legs that it just looked like he was wearing moon boots. And it was terrible. And it definitely did hinder his, like, leaping ability. Like, it's like leaping with 10-pound weights on your feet.
Yeah, I remember when we tried jumping over the ropes from the outside to get in the ring.
Yeah.
And how many times he got caught.
Uh-huh. It's just like another – it was just a pain in the ass. But, yeah, getting kicked in the head, you got to check for concussions every time. But
oh, yeah.
So, Matt, right before you called, I was telling them a little bit about your story. I want to say that the last time we saw you, was it the Tony Nese thing, or did you go forward from that?
What do you mean? Oh, I think I was in the Battle Royal at Supercard last year.
Okay. All right. So you were involved in Supercard, and then I was telling the listeners and everybody that's tuning in that nobody really knew what happened. You know what I mean? Like, everybody kind of just... I don't know if you went and told Pat what was going on or Eric or anybody like that, but it's just kind of like, where did Matt go and will we ever see him again? You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Walk us through what was happening at the same time as being on the biggest stage for Pro Wrestling Syndicate. I mean, if you were in that battle royal, that means you were in front of 1,300 to 1,500 people. You know, walk us through that time frame and what happened after that, and I guess fall right into what you wanted to talk about tonight.
Yeah, I mean... PWS has been, like, you know, the best place to train for me. I mean, I started training when I was 20 years old. I started at the Wild Samoan Training Center in 2007. And I bounced around from, you know, place to place and just not really feeling it, you know, feeling all the other, you know, training centers. And I remember, you know, working out and training for the Great Muda Seminar that PWS was hosting. And I found out they were opening up a school. And I'm like, you know what, this is, you know, this is my end. It's a perfect opportunity to get back into it, and, you know, because I love it so much. And it might not seem like it, you know, because I was bouncing around from place to place, you know, but, you know, coming in, meeting everybody was great, man. The camaraderie, you know, that we all had, the brotherhood was awesome. And, you know, we had some good matches. We, you know, debuted together at the rec center, which is funny story real quick. I remember when we were training in, do you remember the old ring we had, the first ring at the rec center?
I call it the ring of death because that thing was cement compared to what we have now.
Yeah, the ring of death. I remember Pat one day saying that was the old ring from the Wild Samoan Training Center that I was at. So it's funny, like, coming full circle. Actually, I trained in that ring, and I debuted in that ring, you know, so many years later, which was cool to me. But, yeah, I mean, I had matches here and there, hurt my leg in October training, you know, kind of, you know, was off and on with it. And then had matches with Nice, which were awesome. So much fun, and then Super Card. And I kind of wanted to, I was kind of thinking about pursuing other things, like, you know, going to school. Because I, you know, out of high school, I didn't go to college. I got a job, and I just started working. And, you know, I kind of wanted to pursue other things, and, you know, at that time, I'm horrible at communicating things to, you know, to people. So, you know, I kind of just, you know, vanished and started doing that, preparing to go to college. And, you know, money was very tight, and I wasn't really making that much at my, you know, other job. And, you know, I was doing that. I was going to school, and in my head, I'm like, you know, I'm getting that itch again. I always followed you guys. You know, when I was out, I always, you know, knew shows that were coming and all that. And, but anyway, you know, during that time, even before that, I kind of developed, like, this is what I want to talk about today. It's just like OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. And I know a lot of people are probably thinking that, you know, it's, oh, he probably washes his hands 10 times a day, or, you know, he rearranges his bookshelf the way he wants it, you know, if it were only that easy. But, like, I developed these, you know, negative thoughts in my head that I believe, you know, really hold me back from what I really want to do in life. And, you know, I know a lot of people are probably like, well, you know, just stay positive, you know, negative thoughts are, you know, nothing, whatever. But for me, to feel comfortable in knowing that, you know, these thoughts aren't true, I would have these, like, rituals that I would do. Whether it be, like, you know, flick a light switch, like, you know, a few times, or, you know, close the door a certain amount of times. As long as I felt comfortable doing that, then the negative thoughts would, you know, go away. And it sounds completely silly. And a lot of the thoughts that I had, a lot of the negative thoughts, you know, are silly, and I know they're not true, but, you know, for some reason, you know, I need to do these things to, you know, take them away. And for me, I felt like it was really, like, holding me back, because I would, you know, think about them a lot, and it would just be thoughts that just pop into my head, like, you know, you apply to this job, and, you know, you're probably not going to get it, you know. So it's just very discouraging thoughts. And, you know, I do these things where, you know, I'll, you know, close a bottle cap and open it back, like, you know, check my phone, lock it, you know, a few times, whatever. like little things like that to take away the negative thoughts. And I know a lot of people have stuff like that going on, but are too embarrassed to talk about it. And it's kind of like why I wanted to bring it up, because, you know, by me bringing it up, maybe somebody out there who's listening now can say, oh, wow, he's, you know, got the same thing I have, or he has something similar to what I have, or, you know, I have anxiety too. So, you know, by hopefully, you know, listening to me and what I have to say, you know, will, you know, inspire or influence somebody to, you know, to at least talk to somebody, you know. Like this right now, what I'm doing is completely out of my element. Like, you know me in training as, like, you know, Mr. No Personality. You know what I mean? Like, I would always be quiet and shy.
I was talking about that right before you called in. I said he was the legit Lance Storm of the group. Like, he had all the moves. He was the most technically sound kid, but he would never speak. And we just had a hard time getting that something out of you. So, yes, I know this is kind of a myth. I think you've talked more in the last 5 minutes than I've ever heard you talk ever. So this is good.
Exactly. And for me, you know, talking about it, it's making me feel better, because, you know, I'm in my head, like, I'm tired of taking these, like, little baby steps to really, like, talk about it. And, you know, I figure I'd take this giant leap and, you know, call you and be like, hey, you have a podcast, man. Can I come on and talk about it? And hopefully, you know, reach out to somebody out there who maybe has the same thing I do, has the negative thoughts and has to, you know, do little things to, you know, take them away. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's what I just wanted to say that. And it's funny, too, because, you know, again, it's me taking, you know, a huge leap, and coming back to training was cool. And I've always had this fear too, going back to you know, wrestling earlier. You know, I always had this fear of just being so, and it's kind of silly, but just being so busy with it that, you know, a lot of my loved ones would, you know, leave. Like, that's the fear that I had, and that's, you know, what was playing in my head, and that's where a lot of, you know, negativity was, you know, coming in and whatnot. But, you know, I sure as hell know that, you know, if I wasn't busy, you know, if I was, you know, lazy and not really doing anything, you know, that would definitely, you know, work out better than the other one. But, you know, I kind of just lost focus, and coming back to training has really, like, and it was great, you know, Mo and Dell, everybody taking me in, but Mo and Dell just saying, you know, you haven't even lost a step. Like, you're...
That's like exactly...
You've gone a year, and you come right in and do everything. Like,
I wasn't there on Tuesday when you made your comeback. I was there last night, and I had talked to Dell right away about how I was bringing you on the show, and he said... He came back last night, and I'm like, get out of here. I'm like, I didn't know that was even in the cards. Like, I had no idea you were trying to come back into this. And then he said, he's like, it's unbelievable how the kid, he didn't lose anything. And I, like, it didn't surprise me, because when you were doing it, you were the one before Dell was Dell. And obviously, you know, Dell for being the first one in the ring and the first one to do all the demonstrations with Pat, but before Dell was around, it was you. That was your role. You always stepped in the ring first with Pat, and you were always on the mats when we were in the stupid yoga room for a little while.
Yeah, I remember that.
You were in there doing all the stuff, and I knew that. Like, I knew right away. I'm like, this kid is freaking good. And I had mentioned that before you came on. I said, you know, I'm pretty sure he had some kind of training before he got to PWS, because he was just naturally gifted. You know, so it's good that you told me. I didn't know you were with the Samoan school. Now, leading into this comeback of sorts, I know you're trying to get... Now, are you trying to just get the rust off, or are you trying to really, like, gung-ho, here we go again, it's time to go win some championships kind of deal?
You know what it is, man? I'm trying to... It's funny, when I was doing it before, you know, I was, you know, all about wrestling, and, you know, I was, you know... It's funny, too, going back to me not talking ever at training.
Yeah.
Like, I would just be mesmerized, and I would just stare at, you know, everything, you know, Pat was doing, or Mo, or just anybody else was doing. Like, that was my focus. Like, I know everybody, you know, jokes around, and I laugh. Like, pain's funny as hell. Everybody else, too. But, like, my eyes are, like, you know, drawn in. Like, I want to be ready when I go in and do my thing. That's why I'm so quiet, because I'm so focused. And that's another thing, too. Like, coming back, you know, the other day, or last night I was thinking about this, when we were doing that crazy drill, I forgot what it was called, when we were doing the headlock takedowns and all that.
Oh, doing all the four corner stuff?
Yeah. I remember being done with my round, which was, like, towards the end, and I was trying to catch my breath because I was blown up. I think Dell was the only one not blown up. But,
of course. He's a freak.
I was standing out in the – I was, like, leaning on the ropes. I'm like, shit, man. If I can, you know, put this much effort into life, like, then, like, the sky's the limit. You know what I mean?
Absolutely,
like,
before,
when I was training, when I started with you guys, you know, my focus was, you know, wrestling. And, you know, when I took the break, you know, my focus was on pursuing other things. Like, it was hard for me to, like, balance out everything, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but coming back and, you know, after the past, you know, two nights, I know it's only been two nights, but, you know, the past two nights, man, I'm focused on, you know, anything and everything. So, like, with wrestling, I'm putting my focus on it. You know, with school, I'm gonna focus on it and everything else. Like, it clicked last night, man. Like I said, like, if I can put this much effort into anything else that I do, man, the sky's the limit.
Absolutely.
And wrestling has really helped me out with that, really, like, cleared my mind. And, you know, and it's funny, too, like, just being blown up, I'm like, shit, man, I haven't worked that. Okay, I don't know if I can curse.
No, go. Yeah, it's all good. I don't have a beep button, so it's all you.
yeah, just like after last night, man, it's just the focus is there, and just working hard like that, it's just like, I want to do that with everything, man. Of course I want to come back and, you know, win championships. And, you know, with Supercard coming up, you know, I know I just came back, and I'm not even going to, you know, be like, am I on the card too? Like, I'm focused on just watching and having a great show and, just, you know, being back in the old gang.
Yeah, man, it's great to have you back, and you've always been a positive influence on everybody. And it's funny how you say wrestling gives you that focus and that drive better, because if it wasn't for professional wrestling, I don't know where I would be. Like, I'm not talking about just doing a podcast, because anybody and their mother can do a podcast. You click on a play button and boom, you're on the air. But I'm saying, like, when I was going through a real rough stretch too at one point, and I knew that, and it was Mo, for anybody, Mario Bocara, our PWS champion, was the one to pull me aside and say, listen, man, like, this is home, man. This is your family. We're going to get you. We got your back. And once you step between these ropes, forget everything else, you know. And I did, and it was crazy, because professional wrestling opened up the doors to do everything else. I became a writer on a magazine. I got a new job. Like, it was all because of wrestling. And it's funny. I don't know if you. I think you were around when Anthony Bowens first started. He showed up and he said he wanted to record something for his school project. I don't know if you remember that.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, so he was recording something, and I said the same thing. I'll tell you right now, wrestling becomes a therapy in some ways. You know, like, you forget about life outside of wrestling. You focused on all your stuff in the ring, and believe me, when I tell you, like, right now in my life, if it wasn't for wrestling, I wouldn't be where I am today, like, as far as mentally, you know, and it's good to hear that it helps somebody else in the same way. I mean, some people can look at wrestling and say, you know, it's just a bunch of guys oiling themselves up just to slap each other around, and then that's it. You know, but there's something behind it, and there's guys, there's leaders, there's quarterbacks in the locker room, like your Mario Bacaras and your Dan Mops, and even obviously Pat and Kevin and everybody that's in that locker room will always steer you in the right direction. So it's good to it's good to see you back, man. It really is. Like, and I'm glad that the aspirations of doing your thing. And if anybody's listening, I'll obviously open up the lines to ask Matt anything, ask me anything. Matt was at this past weekend's show as well. What did you think about the show, top to bottom?
It was great, man. I mean, the tag match that opened up with Lone Rangers and Heavenly Bodies was good. And obviously the Kevin and Jarrett was really good. We were all talking about it on Tuesday. Just the way, like in the beginning, just like the stalling with the, you know, the struts and everything else. And it was one of those things where, like, you sit and you watch it, and it's not, it, you know, I'm sure, you know, some fans would be like, you know, this is dragging on too long, but it's telling a story, man. Like, it was just, it was good. And one, it's funny, one of my favorite things, and hopefully I don't catch, you know, anything for this, but freaking Habib, the car wash
guy. Dude.
Oh, my God, man.
The buzz on this guy is like as if it's when Tebow found Christ or something like that. Like, this guy, it's just, it's like ESPN headlines all of a sudden is Habib from the car wash, and it's like, to some, it's disturbing. It's like, what is this? But to some, it's the coolest thing they've ever seen. You know what I mean? So it's just been
watching, hearing the music hit and just watching his entrance video.
Washing Chris Payne's truck. I don't know if you noticed that. That green truck is Chris Payne's truck. So that right there, that was hilarious. And he's out there and he's washing the posts. He's washing the ropes. He went inside the ring and started to wash Matt McIntosh's back.
Another one, man. He's good. McIntosh.
You know what? When he came aboard, he reminded me of you. You know, like that technically gifted kid. And believe it or not, dude, he's only been doing it for 2 years. So,
really?
Yeah. And he's younger than me. I think he's 25, 26. And he's killing it, man. He's the suicidal six-weight champion. He's defended that belt a couple times already. So and something that PWS saw in him when he first came aboard, and he's one of those guys where you could be like, well, he might be the future of this company. Because the guys like, you know, your Dan Moffs and your Mario Bacaras, and it's great that they're on fire right now, but one day they're going to have to kind of step aside and let these other guys – but listen, I know everybody else's goal. Like, we're not stupid. Let's call a spade. Like, the goal is to get on TV. But at the same time, I think that PWS, in some way, shape, or form, could be that, quote, TV. You don't know. Things are happening. You know how much PWS is putting into this supercard. Like, you know what we do with our production and all sorts of stuff. I know we got rid of the internet pay-per-view because it was always god-awful. It's just been like PWS is really making some new guys. And I don't know, personal opinion, what did you think of Tommy Wonsaw, the size of this kid? I don't know if you met him on Tuesday, if he was there or not, but
he used to be O'Doyle, right?
Yes, he was O'Doyle.
Yeah, monster, man. I saw, like, you know, I was reading results and stuff and seeing pictures. I saw him as O'Doyle. I'm like, oh, wow, that's hilarious. You know, the revolting blob and all that. And then I saw him at the show on Saturday. I'm like, wow, this kid is, you know, nasty. Look at him. He's with, you know, Damian, big heel. And, you know, I don't want to blow his spot or anything, but, you know, training with him, he's hilarious.
Oh, dude, I have to show you, before it's all said and done, I have to show you his Ultimate Warrior promo and ask him to do Ric Flair. Ask him to do anybody. He could do any. That's the thing. He's like, it's like a weird thing in him where he could just, if he can do like GMC better than GMC can do himself, you know, like it's so weird. I don't know what it is about this kid, but he's got a gift, man. And now on top of that gift of being funny and personable and just overall like physically just dominating, he's excellent in the ring. He's so good, you know, like he's very good. Him and Dan Moff went at it. And they kicked the crap out of each other one night I believe it was Fight Night 3. Total domination both ways. Like, it was hard to watch, you know what I mean? Like, chopping each other and slapping around each other. And I'm like, they're going to kill each other. They're going to kill each other. So he's a monster. But we do have a caller on the phone right now, and I'll leave you on the line, obviously, with him. It's J.P. Mayer. J.P. Mayer, obviously, I said that too. I said, okay, cool. He texted me before, not texted me, he shot me a message like, will you take down my phone number for the first time ever? Because every time he calls, I'm like, who is this? You know? And I'm like, He's like, what do you think it is? It's me again. And I'm like, oh, shit, there you are again. So, JP Mayer, what's up, buddy? I know you're on and out with Matt Vitez and myself. Thursday Night Destruction, special start time because of my beloved Rangers at 8 o'clock. What's going on, bro?
First off, it's my beloved Rangers, too. Don't forget, I bleed blue just like you.
All right, that's good. Good start.
Oh, absolutely. But I've been listening the entire time, and Matt, excellent story. And I actually got to see a couple of your matches. I actually saw you get speared by Dave at that in that 10-man tag, and I'm happy to hear you that you're back.
Thank you. And really, really quick, I didn't want to make it sound like a pity party or anything. I just wanted to, you know, bring it up just to, bring awareness to it. Because I know there's a lot of people that have it that don't talk about it. And so hopefully by, bringing it up, people will. So.
But this is a good thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is a cool thing that you've kind of overcome. And you're not looking for that kind of attention. You just want to – here's perfect case in point. You're here, you're telling your story about OCD and what it can do to you and how you can overcome it. You're not becoming Michael Sam and getting drafted and being gay and trying to get a reality show based on your life experience. So this is a cool thing. What Michael Sam did was a Bush League bullshit because I think that Oprah got way in over her head, and I'm going to go off on a tangent here. I can't even start talking about that guy. So, but JP, dude, are you ready for Supercard?
Am I ready for Supercard? Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, I know.
I was very upset that I wasn't there last Saturday, whenever it was. I've talked about it. I talked about it on my show last night. I've been talking about it. I believe I talked about it on your show last week.
Uh-huh. Now, this might be a more important question. How was the wedding?
Well, it sucked that I was the only single guy there.
Yikes.
Yeah, so needless to say, I did not bust out the She Wants the D-shirt. I had it on under.
which I don't know, Matt, I'm sure you saw the shirt. That is the highest grossing selling shirt ever in my career so far. So that
is
shirt,
it really?
Oh, yeah, man. That blew out every single shirt I ever did. And you know me, I had about like five or six already for no good reason. I thought I was the rock star. I needed a new shirt every month, but it got over well with a lot of crap. So
yeah,
I'm
like,
glad to hear that the wedding went good though.
I'm glad
the wedding went good, and
yeah.
I actually told my date, I'm like, I have on under my dress shirt, and you saw what I wore. I had on a nice outfit, and I said to her, like, because she saw that I had on a black shirt underwards. And she knows me. She knows I'm a wrestling nut. And she saw the video where I did the video of all my wrestling T-shirts. And she's like, are you wearing the She Wants a D-shirt?
Wait a minute. I'm sorry to cut you off, but you just said your date, correct?
Si, senor.
All right, so what are you complaining that you're single for if you had a date to the wedding?
okay. But before we get
Don't tell me. Wait. Don't tell me you got friend-zoned. Is that what we're talking about here? Or are you like the
best
guy?
I've also known her for 9 years. She's my best friend. She's my best friend's sister.
That should be your in, bro. Come on. That should be a layup.
Especially with the shirt you're wearing.
Exactly. I mean, come on. The shirt itself should be giving you that extra. You should have, like, started to unbutton the shirt a little bit, like, three-quarters of the way through the wedding. Showed a little bit of the green font and said, hey, sweetheart, huh? I think it's time. What do you think? Like, come on.
Yeah,
like
but
Superman.
By that time,
he's got
I had drank so
hand.
Much.
Wait, so you drank so much?
I drank so heavy, even if she did, it wouldn't have been pretty.
Yeah, just the D wouldn't have worked. That's great. Well, I'm glad that you had a good time, and that's good.
Yeah, and going back to what you said before Matt got on, about one Gordito.
See, I don't want to waste any time on that kid. I mean, that's just me. But
yeah, just to give you a fair warning, I think he's going on at Supercard.
That's wonderful. I'll slap him in his fat face. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, he just started with me for the wrong reasons, and he was a big zebra follower, and I just wasn't a fan of his. So whatever. That's water under the bridge. I don't care about anything of that nature anymore. But yeah, I mean, so JP, you read results of Supercard. I'm not Supercard. I'm sorry. Refused to lose.
Yeah.
You read results. Did anything stand out to you that you were just like, wow, I can't believe that happened?
Well, for starters, Habib.
Wait until you see this guy in person.
Yeah, I just hope he doesn't try to clean my glasses.
Yeah, well, he can't see as it is.
Oh, Lordy. Craven joining Reality Check. I actually pegged that at the beginning of the year, and actually he did a little foreshadowing for me at Spring Breakdown, which I didn't think about until I heard the results.
What did he do? What did Craven leak to the crowd that he was going to join Reality
Craven
Check?
Craven didn't leak anything, but that the day of Spring Breakdown, I wore my Tukaki Kevin Matthews shirt.
Uh-huh.
And after the show, we're all getting ready to leave, and we saw Craven, and being that some of our suspects can't help but get off Craven's jock, I'm not going to mention names.
And don't do that.
But, yeah, I already have enough problems with this person.
Summer, but get off of Craven's dick, Summer. Stop it. Get off, for Christ's sake. We know it's her, for God's sake. Just stop it already. All right, anyway, moving on. Go ahead, Jay.
He had said, I need some help. And he looked at my shirt. And I didn't think anything of it. I was like, maybe. I'm like, nah. And then just went to the waiting room and had some adult beverages.
So that was that. Yeah, no thought process behind it. Just screw it. No big deal.
Thought processes because I wanted to go get drunk.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, again, I haven't been to an after party in quite some time, and I couldn't find myself going this past Saturday because sitting there all night and then getting up after a while, it's like I think the knee needs to go home and go to sleep, to be honest with you. So. Haven't been able to be out with all the fans and interacting. However, I did see pictures and video of GMC dancing with one Kathy Hummer that didn't really sit too well in the stomach, but it is what it is. Her birthday, so I mean, the birthday girl's got to get her drink on and got to get her dance on, and who better than GMC to go up there and start grinding on Kathy Hummer?
Yeah, well, let's bring back the video from Fight Night 3 with GMCN, that lady old enough to be my grandmother.
Oh, don't bring that up, because then GMC will start crying. He'll call the show and be like, Dave, I told you not to bring that up. I'm starting to see somebody, and I don't like my business out there.
Okay, wait a minute. Dave, don't bring it up. We were all there. We all saw it.
I know. Hey, listen. It's each his own, man. Whatever he's into. I know his excuse that night was, oh, she's a damaged woman. She needs help. Oh, boy. I was like, well, if that's what we're going for, then that's what we're going for. Whatever. But, I mean, whatever. I mean, that's that. But, JP, as always, buddy, thank you so much for calling in. We'll chat more, obviously, as the Rangers start in less than an hour. So let's go Rangers. And I'm going to take some other calls. See if anybody else got questions for Matt or myself or just want to shoot the shit. But thanks again, buddy, for calling, and we will talk to you soon. All right, man?
I'm sure I'll talk to you next week, either on my show, your show, or both.
Why not? Why not just keep spreading the wealth, right?
Yeah, there you go, brother.
All right, Jay.
All right, guys, take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Yep.
All right, well, that's JP Mayer, big fan of ours, as always.
All right.
Matt, you remember him, right? Like, you do remember this kid, right?
He wasn't there the other day, right?
No, he wasn't.
I don't really remember. hope he doesn't take offense to that. But
no, it's well. I would sit there and describe him, but it's just like, how do you? I mean, whatever. I'll send you a picture.
Well,
he's the one that Kevin Matthews orders 5XLs for his shirts.
Okay.
And God bless
JP.
That guy. Yeah, oh, that one.
Yeah.
He's a friggin' awesome sport, and he has fun, and
yeah.
We're just busting. Don't worry about it, JP. We're just busting, man. So, but we do have another caller on the line. I wish I knew. This is when it gets tricky, Matt. It gets tricky because when people call in and you don't know who they are, it's like, oh, Christ, who is it? Oh, my God, who's going to prank call me? I don't know. So, caller, Thursday Night of Destruction, you're on with me and Mr. Matt Vitez. Who is this?
Hey, what's up? It's Christine.
Hey, Christine Friesen-Friggendorf. It's one of the sign girls.
What's
hey.
Going on?
How are you?
I finally have minutes on my phone so I can, so I decided to call you. What's
Wait a
up?
Minute, time out right there. You have minutes on your phone. So you, are
I,
you...
I have a prepaid phone. I need to put minutes on my phone.
Prepaid phone? It's 2014. Get a plan. What's the plan?
No, I had those just, you know, too expensive for me.
Okay, hey, whatever. I mean, you said you got the new job? No, that wasn't you. Yes, it was.
Yes, no, I know, I did. No, I have a new job, but the first paycheck wasn't really that great. But been busting my butt lately, so.
Time to get a raise, Christine. Time to get a raise.
Yeah, right.
Well, Christine, so, you obviously remember Matt, right?
Yes, I do. I remember. It's been a while, but welcome back.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I think I saw you. We saw you walking around at the show on Saturday.
Yep, I was there with my nephew, who loves PWS, by the way.
I was going to ask you who that was, just because I didn't know if it was like your son that nobody knew about or anything like that. So I was like, okay, cool. He's got a little one. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Well, Dave knows my nephew. He's gone to several shows.
Yeah, Christine's nephew is a little destructy and one of my biggest supporters. Love the little guy.
Yes, he's a needed supercard.
Oh, that's awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, he's looking forward to it.
Very cool. Christine, now, your thoughts on this past week. Do you like it? Did you hate it?
It was great. I enjoyed it. There was a lot of pop. I think a lot of for the Warlord Challenge.
Challenge. Yeah, that was interesting.
It was rather interesting.
Yeah,
another interesting chant when Arkham came out. We're yelling hashtag bitch chants.
Have you, Matt, I don't think you've actually met Arkham yet, but this guy, not only is he's a freak of nature, first of all, in physical sense, but he's probably the funniest guy ever. He calls himself Doomsday Jesus.
We were yelling that as well. You were Doomsday Jesus chant as well.
And for whatever reason, if you follow him, what?
I'm sorry. Yeah, he's a big dude. I actually met him at the Great Muda seminar like 2 years back.
No,
I haven't
shit.
Really gotten to speak to him, but just looking at the guy, he's just a monster.
He's got this demonic laugh to his personality where he scares the hell out of you. It's one of those like, are you going to kill me laughs or are you laughing at my joke laughs? It's just this, if I had to describe it, it's like, hey, Arkham, you know, it's sunny outside. And he'll be like,
Christian.
Ah,
go ahead.
Loud, like, oh, my God, he's going to kill me. I don't know what to think right this second. But he's a funny dude, man. He's one of the coolest guys to talk to.
Yes, Christian.
Christine, so where's the partner in crime?
She's actually working overtime. She gets done at 8 o'clock, but I figure I'd call solo. And then you're starting at 8 because of the Rangers. I don't follow hockey, so I'm sorry. But
totally okay. It's your loss, not ours.
No, I know. I mean, you know, my brother has season tickets for the New Jersey team. So we won't talk about that because I know you're a Ranger fan, so I'm not going to say anything. My nephew's disappointed.
Yeah, I can hear him. I can hear him in the background. It's cool.
Yeah. So, Christian, go in your room, please.
All right,
yes,
well, hey,
go.
Thank you so much for calling in, though. I appreciate
no problem, Dave.
And hopefully we obviously will see you at Supercard, correct?
Yes, you will. You'll see him as well.
Awesome, awesome. All right, well, you keep putting in those hard hours and get yourself a real cell phone, okay?
I definitely will.
All right, Christine, we'll talk to you.
All right.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
That's Christine Friesendorf or some shit like that. Awesome. What?
I said, what a call.
Yeah, calling in from, hey, Dave, I put 10 minutes on my phone just so I can call into your show. All right. Now we're talking.
Talk
huh?
to her nephew. Tell her nephew.
Yeah, right? Like, hey, get inside. Get inside. I'm
like,
not talking to you.
Yeah,
get inside.
Like she's not on the air. Yeah, talking.
Yeah. Christian, go in your room. Go get your reality check T-shirt. Go ahead. That's great. But yeah, man,
yeah.
It's this is what I do every Thursday, by the way, usually on 8 to 10. Again, the number to call
awesome,
if you're listening.
Man.
Yeah, man, 760-888-5749. Give us a call. I actually somewhat have an improv 2 co-host in Matt Vitez today, so which is kind of cool. But, it's, yeah, again, awesome to have you back, dude. Like, it's just
– thank you.
It's one of those things where – if certain people quit, it's okay. We just forget about them. You know what I mean? But like we knew
yeah.
what you had. We knew what you were capable of doing, and you know we're glad to have you on board and back and that's really it, man. So it's good luck, obviously. Good luck to the future of what you got going on. I'll be there every step of the way, just not in the ring just yet. I know it's one
thank
of those
you.
Things.
I,
that, go ahead.
I hope we do get in the ring one day so I can avenge that. Beer
yeah.
2 years ago.
I tell you what, man, from 2 years ago. That spear, man, it got me through a lot of hard times. So I'm itching to do it again, and it's been killing me that I'm not being able to do it. But again, I'm trying my very hardest to find, you know, new things and new ways to explore, like, what the hell my gimpy ass is doing. Like today, legit, I went to therapy. And
yeah.
I couldn't – I have 1,100 friends on Facebook, okay? I have 1,000,000 friends. But when I need a ride home from therapy, forget it. I don't have a goddamn soul. Like, I don't understand. And I was telling I was telling a couple of friends, I'm like, you know, what's wrong with you guys? Like, you guys – you know what's funny? I posted on Facebook, I need a ride, okay? The first comment was my boy Sean, and he decided to post a photo of the number to a taxi company. So I was like, "You are, Sean, if you're listening, you're a prick, bro." Like, that's not even
that's,
funny.
That's what
and
Facebook
of course,
friends are for.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I gotta have to go through a little bit of a spring cleaning and start getting rid of people. Screw you guys, man! You guys don't want to help me out when I'm in need. But don't you understand
wait, so
that
you're
you?
Saying- You're saying you're going to get rid of them, but they're not going to say happy birthday to you when it's your birthday. They're the only ones that remember.
Yeah. It's funny you say that because, like, all my big announcements, it gets – and this is something my stepmom always says. She's like, you have a group of 11, like the 11. And I'm like, what do you mean the 11? She's like, everything you do in life, there's 11 people guaranteed to always like your status. And I was like – nah, that's not true, you know? I can say, like, hey, guys, that piss I just took was really good. And I'll get the same 11 people to be like, oh, I agree, that piss was good. Like, what have I done? Have I, like, started a cult? Like, this following is awful. But
that's true.
It is true, man. Without Facebook friends, I don't know where I'd be, to be honest. All you guys out there, all that support you guys give me from a time-to-time basis, it's something special, and I do appreciate everybody that calls in, and without the fans, obviously, Matt, you know this firsthand, being in the business, like, without them, without their support, it's like, what the hell are we doing this for, you know, like, it's kind of just irrelevant to just wrestle and just start beating each other up for no reason.
See, exactly, and that's another thing, you know, I think people don't understand about wrestling, you know, we train, and we, you know, put our bodies on the line every time we do it just for the sake of, you know, because we love to do it and, you know, to make other people happy. Like, that's what people don't realize. Like, what we do and, you know, you tore your ACL because you love wrestling and you want to make, you know, the fans happy, and you're hurt because of it. And people don't get that. You know, people will say, oh, why are you doing that? Oh, you hurt your leg? You bum? Oh, so they just don't realize that. So, I mean, it's fun and it hurts, but, you know, people don't get it.
Yeah, no, you're right. Some people think it's just a hobby, and some people do treat it as such. I'm not going to lie. When I first started this thing, I thought it was like this really cool thing to do on the side. You know what I mean? And Pat was the first one to say, like, okay, if it's a hobby, it's a hobby. If you're trying to make it, you're trying to make it. There's like two different sides of the spectrum. And as time goes on and time moves on, you start finding yourself not just more interested, but you're getting better at it. And you feel like you're more confident in your ability to do certain things. So before you know it, in my mind, I'm like, you know what? Screw this hobby nonsense. Like, I can make it. You know what I mean? Like, anybody on that roster who puts in the work and puts in the time, they can make it, man. Like, right off the bat, you know, guys like Mike Dell isn't going to rest until he's on TV. You know what I mean? And guys like Anthony Bowens and your Chris Paynes and guys like that, they're just going to keep going and going and going until they finally see that letter come from Connecticut saying, hey, how about you go down flying down to Florida and we'll start this journey. You know what I mean? So it'll happen. Even I don't know when it'll happen. But
Even some of the new crop of people – They're good, or getting good,
and they get good. You know,
even the
training,
even the girls, like, you know, they're getting good.
Yeah,
and
before,
you know,
you were a part of the group where we had girls that were coming and going, like the wind was blowing. You know what I mean? Like, here's the flavor of the month for this month, and then that was it. You know, like it would go in and out. So now what you have is you have a crop of girls right now, and I mentioned them right before you got on, and this is, you know, Allison and Sarah. Those girls are busting ass, man. They're really trying hard. And for somebody like Allison, I think she's only in like 2 weeks or 3 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, she was telling me,
She's doing good, man, and like she's got the right people around her to help her. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Even when Pat's not there, you just got to stay away from the creeps, you know? There's always a group of individuals who are out for the wrong reasons, and you just got to stay away from these people. So
I was telling her last night, I'm like, she did a great job because, you know, she listens. It's not like, you know, if she, you know, makes a mistake and, you know, people keep telling her to do and she's making the same mistake. She's actually doing it and learning it, and that's awesome. And I can't believe she's been here 3 weeks, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm the way I see her and the way I see, like, her progress, it's quick. And that's what I saw, like, you know, if I can give any advice to anybody coming into that school, it's to listen. You know, if you don't listen, you are screwed, man. Like, you have to just pay attention to detail because it's that specific little nuance that Pat doesn't like, or it's that specific little move that he makes that, like, for, case in point, last night in that four-corner drill, I said to Allison, I saw her, I said, you better get in there next. And she's like, no, I don't know. And then it was the last one, she went in there, and she's taking people over in headlock takeovers, and she's, you know, doing the waistlock takedowns. And it's funny, because as soon as she did make a mistake, and Pat corrected it, it's bam, quick, fixed. You know what I mean? Like, it was, she's good, and she's got, like, this, I don't know. And it's funny, because we had promo night last week, before you came back. We had, it was a Wednesday night, everybody had to cut promos. And I said that to her. I said, you know tonight's promo night, right? And she's like, well, what does that mean? I'm like, well, you gotta talk in front of the class. She's like, well, I can't do that. No way. You know, I'm like, there's certain people that can and there's certain people that can't. And I said, I was like, you know what? I'll do you a solid. I'll interview you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll turn to you. I'll stick a mic in your face. I'll ask you some questions. And this is a perfect joke and a segue into a birthday boy. But the question I said to her, I said, where are you from? And she goes, South Plainfield, New Jersey. So she goes on and on about this promo. Like, it wasn't a promo. It was just like, I'm here to fight and this and that. Like, just this girl who doesn't know what the hell she's talking about. But it's over. And then Pat, obviously, like he does with everybody, critiques her and says, you know, hey, you know, instead of saying South Plainfield, New Jersey, say, I'm a Jersey girl born and raised, right? So I turned to Jaguar and I said, Jaguar, this is exactly how I want you to start every promo from now on. I'm a Jersey girl, born and raised. Jaguar, if you're listening, sorry, bro. But Jaguar's another good sport. He just turned 21, so I'm hoping to get him out of the bar one day, just get him totally ripped and just see how he acts. Because he's a classic when he's not even drunk, because he doesn't drink. He's like this big freaking teddy bear or some shit like that. He's just so weird.
I caught up with him on Saturday. I was talking to him about, you know, what's going on and stuff. So, yeah, it's good to see him.
It's good to see him. It's just that he's one of those guys that we've been trying so hard to push this kid. You know what I mean? Like, look at the size of this guy. The size of this guy is uncanny, and, like, he's just so big. And his moves in the ring, are unreal. You know, he's a good kid, and he knows what he's doing. And it's just, it sucks when you're like, we're giving you a character. Here it is. Take it. Run with it. And sometimes, even when we're giving you something, it's hard to just, I guess it's just a confidence thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just one of those things that if you don't believe in it, you're not gonna, I don't know, you might not come off successful in that role, and hopefully maybe we'll find him another role where he could just take the ball and run. And that's actually like kind of like a segue into you. We see you come in, and you were never Mr. Gimmick. You know what I mean? Like, we never gave you a gimmick. But do you see yourself, I guess, in the future, in the next coming months, trying to develop that, or are you going to stick with your, like, silent assassin ordeal?
That's what I've been – I really haven't been thinking about a gimmick. Like, I just focus on the in-ring work. And I know, you know, it'd probably be better if I come up with a gimmick, you know, but I don't know. Just for some reason, like, my focus is just on the in-ring, you know, the Lance Storm of the group, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you. And it's funny because Pat is always the one to tell us and try to drill in our heads that in-ring stuff is almost not even close to being as important as how to talk on a mic.
I know.
So he's always drilling that lesson. And that's why I use this as a forum, and I use the broadcasting stuff as a forum where I know how to talk, man. I can talk for literally 2 hours at a clip. You know, like, it's cool. I enjoy it. I don't mind talking in front of people.
Yeah, and this is helping me. Like you said, like, this is probably the most I've talked, or you've heard me talk, probably ever.
Ever. So, oh, like, legit, ever.
Ever. Yeah. And this is being recorded, and you can download this on iTunes tomorrow and listen.
Yeah, no, I'll be the first one to say that I'll be listening back probably after the Ranger game just to make sure everything sounded okay, but you've done a cool thing today, man. I mean, not too many people want to come out and say, you know, any issue, whether it be your condition or somebody else's condition, it's always good to get it out and get it out of your system and let people know what's going on with you so they can kind of follow you, not you're right, not as a pity party kind of deal, but kind of like inspiring and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, you know, Oprah or, you know, Tony Robbins or anybody. I'm just a regular guy just, you know, saying what's on my mind. And, you know, if somebody has it and is afraid to talk about it or embarrassed, like, I was embarrassed, not anymore. I'm talking on a podcast about it with, you know, a bunch of listeners. You know, it's just I'm at the point now where it's like, you know what, stop taking baby steps and take giant leaps, man. I'm here. I called you up. And I'm like, look, man, I want to talk about this on the air. Like, you know, if I can just reach out to somebody who has it, you know, it'll help me out too. You know, getting back into wrestling and, you know, it's just been getting my focus. It really has. And, you know, from, you know, here on out, like, the sky's the limit, so.
Absolutely, bro.
And I appreciate
you
know, doing this for me.
Absolutely, dude. I'm in the business to try to help people, try to promote people, try to get other people over and you know, get people to just really, really, you know, focus on getting everything, you know. It's hard to explain, but like just getting back to what you love to do, you know, there's no reason why you couldn't. And I'm really happy that everybody kind of accepted you with open arms,
you know,
coming back into the school. And now the sky's the limit, man. I mean, if I may ask, like, what are you going to try to go to school for? What have you been going to school for?
Business administration.
Oh yeah. Okay. I know nothing about that.
Nor do I.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, and, you know, all my life, man, I've always wanted to be a wrestler. And, you know, I've always had that mentality of, you know, there is no backup. But, you know, going through this, it's like, you know, it's taking me out of reality. And, you know, coming back into wrestling now and, you know, trying to overcome that, you know, if, and, you know, focusing on other things and pursuing other things, if for some reason, you know, it doesn't work out, I'm okay with it. And, you know, I've never said that before. You know what? You've got to enjoy life, and I'm happy where I'm at right now. And, you know, wrestling is really a positive influence on it and really has got my focus back. So
that's good, man. It's really good to hear and all that good stuff. But I won't keep you all night. As a matter of fact, I guess you're not going to training tonight. Am I keeping you from that? Because I don't want to be that guy.
No, I'm going. I gotta
okay,
break
good.
The ring.
Exactly. See, that's
even
like
if
it's
I can
like,
break down the ring.
It's stuff like that that really, like, it stands out to me. It stands out to guys like Chris Payne or the leaders of the group like Dell. Like, the fact that you're going to go there, even if it was just that, to break down the ring and help out, that's more than half the people that come in there, they show their face once in a blue moon, they leave, and then all of a sudden you never hear from them again. It's like,
yeah.
It's good to hear that there's the effort's coming back. And maybe that you're doing this, it'll set the tone and set an example for some of the new guys to stick around and go to the practice. I remember when we started, nobody missed practice, ever. It was like one of those things where if you missed practice, you felt guilty for a week, you know? And we had, what was it, three nights? Was it two nights a week to start or three? I forget. But
I think it was two, yeah.
Yeah, it was two, but it was like three-hour sessions and nobody missed. And it was just, now it's like a different landscape where people are picking and choosing when they want to show up. And it stinks, you know? It really does stink, but hopefully the landscape changes. What?
You know what it was, too? When we were first training, we were training in that yoga room on mats, and nobody missed the training class. We weren't even in a ring yet, and nobody missed training.
These guys, and now the landscape has changed in PWS as far as training is concerned, and I think next month, and I don't know if Pat's come out with it, and I won't say it yet, but there's a chance that we move back. You know what I mean? So we move back to Rawway where we have these mats, and we have places for these new guys to go, because I remember in our first couple months we had to earn our way into the ring, man. Like there was no like just gimme, because nowadays you come into Pro Wrestling Syndicate school and you're taking a bump on day one, you know what I mean? So it's I think it's more of a faster pace. I think we're doing a good job like molding the newer crop and whatnot and really throwing them into the wolves, but at the same time, you know, guys like me and you and Gibbs and Craven are probably looking at these guys like, these jerk-offs don't know how good they have it right now. You know what I mean? Because here we were running in the gym laps around. Remember those laps and the squats? And it was just it was grueling, you know? And it was in the middle of summer, so it was friggin' 100 degrees. So it was just a whole different dynamic back then. But now hopefully it goes back to that. But I'm glad that, again, I'll repeat it a million times, we're extremely happy that you're back.
Thank you.
And get your ass going now, man. Thank you so much for coming on. And get your ass down there so nobody thinks that you mispracticed to be on my podcast, because then they'll kill you. So
they're probably all listening to it and making fun of me. So
No, it's 7:30. They should be running the ropes by now. But, Matt, thank you for coming on, man. And obviously the floor is always open for you to come on in and say what's up and all that good stuff, bro.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, dude. And I'll be talking to you. I'll see you probably next week. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Any big plans or what?
I don't know. Whatever happens, happens.
I'm in the same boat now, so we'll see what happens. All right. I'll talk to you, brother.
All right. Thank you.
You got it, buddy.
Bye.
So that's Matt Vitez. He actually stayed on with me for a whole hour, and that's a story upon itself, and I knew it was going to be a cool feel-good story. Not so much, he wasn't looking for pity. He wasn't looking for some promotion or any sponsorships or anything like that. He was looking to tell people, hey, listen, you got a problem, face it. You know, instead of not embracing it and not bringing any light to it, face the problem head on, deal with it, and overcome it. And you can do that, man. It's the easiest thing to just get your mind right and get all your – I don't know. I'm probably going to say – I always have a tendency to say the wrong quotes. I almost said chickens in a basket, but I'm probably sure it's chickens in a row and eggs in a basket. I don't freaking know. Whatever. But we do have a half hour left on the show. If you want to call in, give me your Memorial Day weekend plans. I would love to know because now I have nothing to do. That's another story. 760-888-5749 is the number to call. Going into, I guess, one thing, and this is bothering me and my boy Evan, who called in last week, and I'm surprised he's not calling in now. He's probably sleeping, which, you know, is normal to sleep till 7:30 on the afternoon or into the evening. But he's off all weekend. He thanks me for that in a totally, totally bad way. But anyway, me and Evan, we watch these, and any observer will watch the I almost said NFL Network. Well, I do watch that too. But the WWE Network, okay? They always have these shows called, you know, the countdown shows. And I enjoy these thoroughly. I really do. I just watched, what did I watch the other day? Top 10 villains or... And then the one before that was top 10 tag teams. And it's pretty cool because it says it's voted by you, meaning us, meaning the listeners, meaning the watchers of World Wrestling Entertainment. So we just watched something called the the top 10 debuts. We are losing our minds on this countdown. Okay. First of all, and I said this in a Facebook the other day, Chris Jericho's debut at WWE when he interrupted The Rock was probably the coolest thing I've ever seen. I didn't know it was coming. This was before the internet was as smart as it is right now and before spoilers and before you knew what was coming. Like, when that Jericho flipped, like that Titantron, that nameplate flipped, and you saw Jericho across, the hair still stands up on my arm when I watch it. So we're watching this countdown. We're not watching it together. He told me, he's like, text me when you watch the countdown. You're going to hate your life, which obviously is way over dramatic, but it's Evan being Evan. So I watched the countdown. And right away, the NWO was number 10. So I'm thinking, like, wait a minute. Like, that was a pretty badass debut. Like, this countdown's going to freaking kick ass if the NWO debut at WCW was 10. So I'm watching it. I'm seeing, like, you know, Kane and Kane's debut, which could have been top three, could have been two at the least. If it was three, it should have been two. And obviously Jericho should have been one. But we look at who actually, you know, came at number one. And it's John Cena's debut. Now, what I said to Evan is, do you think Cena just told Triple H, I want to be number one? So he put him number one? I don't know. It's weird. It's like, I get it. It was a cool debut because you turned into the monster that you are right now, and you're the biggest thing since The Rock, biggest thing since Stone Cold, you know, and you're selling more shirts than anybody in the history of mankind. But your debut was against Kurt Angle, who's I think is one of the best to watch and study. And it wasn't really much. It was you came down the ramp, you slapped him in the face, you punched him up a little bit, and you got pinned and you lost. But you're telling me that's better than, you know, when Jericho first came on and interrupted The Rock? I guess, I don't know. I guess I'm biased, and I guess I'm just a little bit not of a as big of a Cena supporter as everybody else. Not for his work or his hustle or loyalty or respect or any of that, because that's the truth. He's not a fake or a phony. I'm sure he is the most hardest working dude on that roster. So kudos to him for being number one on that countdown. But, yeah, that's something I had to share. But I was just scrolling through Facebook because, you know, I'm never on Facebook anymore, so I really do have to catch up with the times. But there, you know, this is going back to the Jeff Jarrett seminar since nobody's going in right now and I have a chance to talk about it. I'm looking at some stuff that was posted by the Blue Meanie. Blue Meanie is an advocate for, and I've been in the ring with him. I know him personally. He's really cool and a very nice kid. Kid, listen to me. Very nice guy. I grew up watching him, you know, with all the ECW and the WWE stuff. But it seems like there's a little bit of heat going on here with an individual named Randy Courier. I don't know who he is, but I'm looking at his Facebook page, and his background picture is the PWS ring. His profile picture is him sitting on the PWS ring at the Jarrett seminar. But I'm also wondering, they said that he told Pat, because he was clearly getting smoked by Mike Dennis in all the drills, Bonesaw, right? Because Bonesaw was trying. And I saw the look of frustration in Bonesaw's eyes when he was getting through this. And I said, I tried to whisper to, to Mike, I said, listen, dude, just do your thing. You know, don't worry about him. Carry him through it. It might make you look better. If you can carry a kid that doesn't know what he's doing through the seminar, maybe it makes you look good. Who knows? But it turns out that the kid wasn't training for a while. He was a little in over his head, but then he went back and said, I've been training at Monster Factory for 2 months. Now, what I'm reading on Facebook right now is that he hasn't been training at Monster Factory for 2 months. So for the fact that somebody actually lied about being trained, I saw as soon as I was watching the kid in the ring, I said, this kid's either brand new or I don't know. Like, I hear a lot of background noise. Or he's not trained at all, which is really scary because now you're putting everybody else's life in danger because you're an untrained wrestler or whatever the case. But that's not cool, man. Listen, if you're listening to the show for whatever reason or if anybody else is, please tell that kid to stop telling everybody that he's a professional wrestler. That's one thing I can't stand. Like when somebody has 2 or 3 nights of training, all of a sudden I'm a professional wrestler. So that's pretty, it's pretty bush league for you to actually pretend that you're a pro wrestler. But in any event, that's being that. Going forward, we have a lot of stuff going on. Supercard coming up. I'm in the works, and this is just something that I've thought about. And I already talked to Mike, the owner of Big Shots. What I think I might do is I might have a little bit of a pep rally party. I'm going to have to talk to him again and follow up with that. But the week of Supercard, there is no announced last night. I don't think there's going to be any training or anything going on because it's such a big week, and we got to make sure all the talent's in and settled and all that good stuff. So I think the Thursday of Supercard, which if I'm not mistaken, that's a 7th, a 6th, June 5th. Something I have to run by Mike. I want feedback from you guys that would you want a live broadcast from the Big Shots patio where you can join me while I'm on the air doing my thing, have some beers, talk some wrestling, and interact with all the PWS fans. And who knows, maybe some talent will come through and hang out. It's not that far-fetched. A lot of the guys like Big Shots. A lot of my former good buddies, you know, the Black Hollywoods of the world, they liked Big Shots. We always had a good time watching those guys dance and get the groove on and all that stuff. And how white do I sound by saying get their groove on? But, yeah, so who knows, man? I mean, that'd be cool. I mean, it is what it is. I'll go see if there's any questions on the little thing here. I think we have one. Steve. Oh, by the way, Steve, yes, I have your shirt, man. I just have to keep – I forget it from Payne's car. And don't hit up Payne for it because he told me that you messaged him. We're sitting right there. I was sitting right there when you texted – or message pain. But he says, what did you think about the crowd's reaction to Jeff and Karen during the main event? I think that those guys really, really, like, they embraced the Rawway crowd. They embraced, you know, the people hating them, being the away crowd, being the visitor, you know, and it was cool, man. Like, I don't know. It just had a big game feel. If that wasn't Supercard, it sure as hell felt like it. So if that was a preview of things to come, then that's great. So I'm just putting on another phone number link here for the last 20 minutes. 20 minutes about anything. Call me up, man. I mean, I got 20 minutes to go. We're going into a Memorial Day weekend. 760-888-5749. But it's been John P. Mayer. What's the final score tonight? What's the final score? I hope we shut them out. I hope they don't score at all. But we should score at least 4 goals. I'm pretty sure the rookie goalie is starting again for the Montreal Canadiens. The price is wrong. He is out again. I think he's out for the series, to be honest. So that's a blessing in disguise right there. I'm expecting my buddy PJ and my buddy Jim over the house tonight to come on over and watch the game with me tonight. Tomorrow I was supposed to get on a plane and head on out to the home of Brock Lesnar, Minnesota, for a wedding. I just don't know if that's going to happen. This injury's been a little bit more – it's been shittier than I wanted it to be. I don't know if I can handle the plane and all that stuff. It's just a rough situation. So I might be looking at, you know, a weekend full of nothing. What's your plans? I mean, like, who knows what you guys are doing? I know that it's the big weekends for a lot of barbecues and all that good stuff. And hopefully it's a lot of fun. Again, be safe. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you to drink until you can't feel feelings anymore, which I might do just for shits because I'm not driving anyway. But yeah, man, Memorial Day weekend, just, you know, not to be Mr. Mush, but just remember why we have off on Monday. It's not just because it's just a day on the calendar where we could just say, hey, thank God we're off, or you don't have to go to work on a Monday. You know, just take a minute to thank, you know, the guys that are busting our asses over in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. And I have best friends that have been over there multiple times. You know, my friend Kevin Smith was on the 82nd Airborne in the United States Army. He was doing it for 4 or 5 years. I remember I was that guy that, you know, cried my eyes out when he decided to do what he's doing. So, and the same thing goes for, like, my friend Tommy, who joined the Marines. That was kind of random. Nobody saw it coming. I didn't see it coming. But, yeah, so Memorial Day. I mean, like, celebrate it. Enjoy it. You know, the weekend's great. Eat all the hot dogs and hamburgers, all sorts of crap that you guys are going to shovel down your guts. I know I won't, because I don't eat that stuff, and hopefully we'll grill me some pizza or grilled cheese, or if Lenny's listening, I know his mac and cheese was revolutionary at all the events that he hosts. I'm a big mac and cheese guy. Touching on some sports right now, I know the Yankees are in Chicago. The Mets are on right now losing to the Dodgers. But something that I also just read before I got on the air was that Landon Donovan of the Team USA is not going to be on the Team USA this year for the World Cup, which kind of surprises me. I mean, why, unless there's something behind it and that I don't know about, but who knows? I have no idea. Maybe he's on steroids or something like the rest of the world. I don't know. That's very weird. The NFL draft is come and gone. That's over. If I have to hear one more thing about Michael Sam, I'll blow somebody's head up. I will do it. Well, I hear voices, and I'm not talking about Randy Orton. I hear voices outside my door, which I believe is probably PJ and Jim. And, yep, sure as shit. Here they are on cue, 7:42. I got the DX Crocs chop. I got Jim coming on here. We're all getting set for the Ranger game. Again, the Yankees aren't on until 8, so I got to listen to this. But I'm going to take another call right now. What's up, Jimbo? How are you, brother?
Party time all the time.
It's party time all the time. Don't be a spud or whatever the hell you call it. What do we got? 917 area code. Caller, you're on the air with Dave Destruction on Thursday Night Destruction. Who's this?
Hi, this is Eric. I want to know what Dave Destruction thinks of Bo Dallas.
What do I think of Bo Dallas?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Well, Bo Dallas was given to us, force-fed to us a couple years ago. I don't know if you remember that. He had a little bit of an angle on Monday Night Raw.
With Wade Barrett.
Yeah, with Wade Barrett and all that good stuff. But what he did is they kind of repackaged him. I kind of like the whole Bo Lever thing. That's pretty cool. I guess it's only a matter of time before they bring him up on the roster to be on every night, just like they just brought up Adam Rose. So I believe, I guess, and we'll see what happens, you know. So that's really what I think about Bo Dallas.
All right. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks for the call.
All right. Bye.
All right. Well, I don't know who that was, but thank you for the call. 760-888-5749. Again, I've been on now for – this is week number 4. Today was great to bring on Matt Vides. I almost said Vides again. Matt Vides came on. He was a good sport about everything. What he's going through or went through was a hard situation to actually have to go and tackle, but he did it. You know, he did what he had to do, and, you know, now he's back. He's back in PWS. He's one of the most gifted guys on the roster, and hopefully we see nothing but good things ahead for him, and, yeah, that's really it. So, again, with about 14 minutes left on the show, again, we're coming off a great, great show for PWS. We got Supercard just right around the corner. The NHL playoffs are in full swing. My team's still alive tonight. We'll hopefully go up 3-0. And that's really it, man. Memorial Day weekend is upon us, and we're going to have lots of fun. I mean, Supercard is going to be one of those things where it's not going to be too much. It's going to be just enough. And we're not going to shove everything down your throat in a span of 2 hours and say, everybody observe what you're seeing here and enjoy it, because you really can't. You can't enjoy everything at once. And hopefully, you know, I know what's going on. They're going to spread it out nicely. And, you know, they'll go from there. So, again, it's been a great show with Matt, and hopefully all his friends and family listened in and really took a lot of courage to come on here and tell his story. And that's it. So just checking the old weather report, and it looks like we got ourselves a decent weekend coming up, sort of. And that's it, man. I mean, I might have to cut this show a little short, only for the sole purpose of kind of ran out of stuff. I mean, I had Vitez on here for a little while. Therapy. I mean, if anybody gives a shit about the therapy I've been going through, I look like Spider-Man now on my knee. Some kind of therapeutic tape or something like that, where it's supposed to lift the skin off the bone and lift the skin off the tendons so fluid can run through, and it's supposed to give me some relief, some pain relief, which is good, because the last 3 days I feel like I've been hitting the knee with a hammer over and over again, which it hurts, but I know it's getting me better, and I'm walking a little bit better on it with the crutches, and soon enough I'll be able to drop the crutches altogether, and that's really it, you know. So therapy's cool. If anybody is hurting for whatever reason off of anything, I'll give his place a plug, because that place is awesome. It's the Edison Comprehensive something. I don't know. Look on my Facebook and see all my check-ins, because I don't remember the name of the place like off the top of my head. But they're very, very nice people, great staff. They're on me all the time, and they're just making sure that I'm comfortable and dealing with all the good stuff that comes with recovery. And they gave me a bunch of stuff to do at home, so we'll explore that as time goes on. And, yeah, that's it. So looks like somebody's going to get drilled at home. No, safe. Met score. Oh, it's the Grandy Man can. Look at that. He's hustling around. I'm surprised he didn't sprain anything while doing so. But, yeah, we'll call it an end of the show a little early, about 10 minutes early, which is no big deal. Hopefully you guys tuned in. Thank you for tuning in. I know the time was different tonight, because of the Ranger game. No lies there. I want to watch the Ranger game.
Let's go Rangers.
And everybody's here for the Rangers game, and hopefully we get this done and go up 3-0, and then we can all just relax a little bit. PJ, when's your birthday?
Sunday.
So they have a chance to, if they win tonight, they can sweep on Sunday.
The jinx is going to be reversed this go.
It's about time, man. No more jinxes. No more jinxes.
Well, the bad karma's out, though.
The bad karma is out. So we'll close this off. Thank you guys for listening. It's been a hell of a show. Again, thank you to Matt Vitez. Thank you for the callers. Of course, JP Mayer, Christine, the normal callers that I hear. I got to hear some new voices. I know the first episode was a murder to try to get on, but, you know.
Evan
didn't call. In fact, he said he was supposed to come over here tonight to watch the game. He's like, Dave, what are you drinking? I'm like, I don't think I'm drinking, Ev. Like, it's Thursday, you know, like, even though I'm not going to lie, Monday night, I don't know what happened. Monday night was an improv bar crawl for no reason. It was game two of the Rangers series, and I treated it as if it was game seven and they won the damn thing. And it's just, I got to really start pacing myself and stop texting and stop.
You know, Evan's motto is, you know, I'll drink any day that ends in Y.
I'll drink any day that ends in Y. That's great. It's like when Evan goes into his house and he sees a little fridge.
Hey, there's even a fridge. This is great. You can put 6 packs of soda in here, milk, yogurt. You can put candy bars in the freezer.
He gets excited. He's an excited little fat kid. But Evan, I guess you're not coming over tonight, which is cool. Whatever, man. You want to stay home? That's fine too. But we'll close the show. I'll put on some little POD for you. I will be back next week, normal time. And we'll, again, I'll check in to seeing if we're going to throw that live broadcast from Big Shots as a little bit of a pep rally before Supercard, which should be fun. But thanks again for listening, and I'll see you guys later.